When you go to apply for insurance, the first thing that they're going to do is that the underwriters are going to look at a bunch of different things. Just consider it due diligence. What do you want to protect? And they're going to look at some of those metrics we talked about at the top of the presentation. Okay, who's out there? What are your risks? Who do you know about? Et cetera. So that's sort of self-evident, but I wanted to let you know that that's a procedure that you'd have to go through. Factors affecting premium. I mentioned these already. How much do you want? Okay, so what I say to my smaller clients is, you know, get $500,000 of insurance. It's not going to cost you almost anything, and you're at least going to have some reserves because, as you know, there can be a flurry of activity at the beginning of a case before you have a chance to settle it. I mean, even if you want to work up a motion to dismiss or file an answer or just even go through scheduling, that could already outpace your deductible in a case. But have some protection. That's my overarching comment. You know, how much of it do you want to pay first on your own? SIR is a little bit different from deductible because the amount that you have on the front end gets added to the back end. So if it's a, you know, if you have a $50,000 SIR and it's a $2 million policy, they actually cover you up to $2,050,000. Choice of counsel. Here's a myth I want to debunk and why. I've always said that lawyers are like the worst audience to try to pitch IP insurance because some of them will think, well, what's in it for me? Okay, well, let me try to answer that. First of all, it is a myth, at least in the context of patent insurance, that you're going to get some bargain basement insurance lawyer. This may not be the best argument for this, but I'm one of them. Okay, so I've been the beneficiary of insurance companies coming to me and say, we have a claim and we have choice of counsel and we want to choose you. Now, a couple of reasons why you know you're not going to get, you know, A&P IP. One, you have to have a certain amount of experience and credentials to be able to play at this level anyway. So they can't hire somebody off the street. Second of all, the insurance companies want to win these cases. And they want to win them early. But here's the position that they're in. This is not made up. Getting a bill for jet fuel from a lawyer. That's a real story. Okay, so why do they want to control the ability to have choice of counsel? Well, because they can go to somebody that they know has economics in mind, is efficient, and will helpfully resolve it. But you can choose your own counsel, but you'll probably get a discount if you let them choose it. So to you lawyers who don't want to recommend it, that lawyer could be you. And wouldn't it be nice to know that if your client got sued, they can pay you? So really, you're feathering your own nest in a sort of backhanded way. Oh, sorry. Before the claim will be honored, you're gonna probably have to get a favorable opinion of counsel, okay? Doesn't mean that you have to be able to win the case. It just means that they wanna make sure that you haven't frivolously infringed just to rely back on your insurance, which makes some sense. And from experience, I can tell you that as long as you have a non-infringement position, an invalidity position, or otherwise, you're gonna get that box checked and your claim is gonna proceed to be honored. The last time I gave this speech, I had a guy stand up and say, well, what if I don't have any meritorious defenses? Why wouldn't they cover me? I'm like, well, if you don't have any meritorious defenses, what do you need the insurance for? Just get up there and fall on the sword. And I've never had a case where I haven't at least had one defense. So I didn't think that was a realistic possibility. But having said that, some food for thought, and hopefully we can chat a little bit more about it offline. But for now, I'm going to hand it over to my colleague to talk about litigation financing. Jeff? Thank you.
All right, great. So, very interesting topic on insurance. So, from a patent owner perspective, and I normally like to represent patent owners, having options on how you insert your patents or license patents or monetize your patents often comes up. Insurance is one option. Another is referred to as litigation finance. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the industry in general. It's a growing and hot industry in general, and then I'm going to narrow it down to litigation finance with respect to intellectual property matters. So here's a little background on the industry. It's a very large industry that's been growing very quickly. Scale of the growth has been cited as in the 20 to 30% range, and there's really no signs of it slowing down. One of the key questions that I receive is, well, isn't litigation funding expensive? The answer is yes, it is. However, you'll notice from the statistics on the data that the most important factor on litigation finance choices is not necessarily the cost of capital. It's other factors such as track record, success, sophistication, et cetera. This is especially true in the IP area where sophistication matters. 80% of lawyers surveyed found that litigation funding is essential. And I'm going to give you some other statistics as well in the general industry, and then we'll talk more about patent specifics. Okay, so here's a slide I thought was really interesting. This was a recent press release. Apparently, a lot of players are jumping into litigation finance. Michael Dell has been reported to investing $70 million into a litigation finance fund. Harvard University has contributed as a limited partner to a major fund from Bentham. I've heard of other universities, endowments, pension funds, family offices, et cetera, all jumping into this asset class. The question might be, well, why is that? Why is this now a $5, $10 billion industry, and why are all these notable players, sophisticated investors, jumping into litigation finance? The answer is that the litigation funding industry is uncorrelated to standard other options such as public stocks and bonds, and the returns have been really, really good. It's not on the slide here, but I've read some public documents where the returns are in the 20 to 40% range for litigation finance funds, so much higher than many other asset classes.